Great to see you all this morning. I've got the neck mic on, so I hope for the level will be okay. We didn't have time to test it. So it's good to see you all, and you're very welcome. And we remember that just recently, Pastor Robin has talked about us transitioning into an army. And so this morning, what I want to do is to set a sort of scene for that, provide a basis and a background for it, so that we've got something to, a platform to build on as we go on. I want to talk first of all this morning about David, King David, we call him. I want you to remember the scene that David was a young guy, maybe 15 or 16 perhaps, and he's out there in the fields, and he's watching over the sheep. He's the youngest in the family, and nobody takes any notice of him at all. They say, you get out and look after the sheep. And one day, the Lord says to Samuel, I want you to go and anoint a new king, because I'm fed up with this one I've made, King Saul. He just does his own thing. He's not a man of the spirit. And I want somebody who's got a heart like mine. So I want you to go to see Jesse up in Bethlehem. And I want you to anoint one of his sons because I've chosen one of his sons to be king. So Samuel goes up there and he says to Jesse, get your sons here. Brought them to a sacrifice. And Samuel looks at the oldest and the biggest, and he says, he's the man. So he goes up to him to anoint him, and the Lord says, no. No, I don't want him. Oh, so Samuel goes to the next one. And we know the story. He goes down all of them, and he gets to the end, and the Lord hasn't said yes to any of them. So he queries, he looks at Jesse, and he says, well, do you have any more sons? He said, well, we've got the youngest who we take no notice of. He's in the fields. He's just a young lad. He's looking after the sheep. So Samuel says, well, you better get him. So they bring David there, and this young teenager stands there, and the Lord says, he's the one. So Samuel takes the horn of oil, and he anoints this young lad to be king over Israel. See what the scripture says. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. If you want to be part of what God is doing, if you want to be moving in power, you have to have that anointing. For every time anybody was called by God to be prophet or priest or king, they were all anointed. Right from the time, the beginning, when they poured the oil over Aaron to be priest out in the desert, the anointing had to be there before the appointing. Listen, no appointing without the anointing. Anointing first, appointing second. And that's what happened to David. And when the anointing came, he was ready to move in power. Now, here's an interesting thing. He gets anointed to be king. But he's not king. Oh, that's strange, isn't it? He's anointed to be king and he's moving in power, but he's not king. Because Saul's still king. And we know that David went on to move in power with a lion and a bear who he killed with his bare hands, and then he kills Goliath, and because of that he becomes famous. And the people begin to realize that there's something on this young man. And Saul takes him into the court, and we know the story, that eventually the power battle becomes so strong that David has to run for his life, and he hides. And he hides in the caves and so on. And he's anointed for king, to be king, but he's still not king. In fact, it becomes even more difficult even when Saul dies, because although there was no precedent in the country, because Saul was the first king they had, there was already a sort of an understanding that his son would be king after him. And one of his sons was still alive, and he got killed as well. That sort of cleared the way for David. And eventually, men start coming to him. We'll hear about that more in the coming days. But I want to share a verse with you here. 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 38. So you see this man who's been anointed for king now, as king. But he isn't king. All these were fighting men who volunteered to serve in the ranks. They came to Hebron, listen, fully determined to make David king. Fully determined, we are going to make this man the king. And all the rest of the Israelites were also of one mind to make David king. Can you imagine that now? So here we have a situation where we've had a king, at least we've had now, but we've got a group of people now who are absolutely, firmly determined and of one mind to take up this man and make him the king in this place. Wow. Wow. I want to share a parallel with you. Because Isaiah chapter 11 says that a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, the same man. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and power, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. So following David, we know that there's going to be another king that comes out and sits on David's throne. Who is that? Oh, two people knew. Good. That's good. Jesus comes out and is the root, the stem, the thing that springs out of the stump of Jesse. And here is a man that's going to be anointed to be king. Let's look at Zechariah. Word you know very well. We usually talk about it at Christmas. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See your king. Your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on the colt, on the foal of a donkey. So here is your king coming. Here is the one that's been anointed to be king. Hallelujah. Matthew 3, verse 16. Have I got that? I don't know where I'll put that in. He's anointed to be, says that Jesus is anointed to be priest and king. Anointed. Here is the one that's anointed. Do you remember when Jesus went to be baptized by John in the desert? And it says that after he was baptized, the Spirit came down as a dove on top of him. Anointed him. Wow. This is beginning to very like David. Because he's anointed to be king. Jesus is anointed to be king. And yet he wasn't king. He was king, shall we say, in the spirit, in the heavenlies, but not on earth he wasn't king. On earth, hardly anybody knew him at that time. In fact, the Bible says that the world is under the control of the evil one. Wow. So Jesus is anointed as king, but at the same time, the world is under the control of the evil one. So when is Jesus going to become king? Here's when the story starts to part. Because David went and hid in order that he wouldn't be killed. And he became king. Jesus went and preached the gospel of the kingdom and was killed. In the same way that Saul would have killed David, the enemy of this world killed Jesus. But here's the greatest difference of all. And we celebrated last week. On the third day, he rose again. On the third day, the grave couldn't hold him. On the third day, he defeated the enemy. But he still didn't become king. He's king in eternity and in the spirit. But let's be honest, he's not king in Redditch. He is with a few people. But most of Redditch and most of Bromsgrove don't know anything about the king. And we've said it twice this morning. I was interested again in the prayer time this morning. We said, and we pray, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done like on earth like it is in heaven. How shall we pray, Jesus? Jesus said, pray, let your kingdom come. Lord, we want your kingdom to come in this place. We want your kingdom to come. When is it going to come? How is it going to come? So I wonder whether we here can be like the people that gathered around David. I wonder whether we can be those, not individually, we've been looking at our individual lives for a long while. We've been saying that we're stronger, better together. We've been talking about it. We've been talking about seeing and hearing. But corporately now, corporately, not individually, corporately, that we can come together. One by one, that's true. Each one has to make a decision. But together we come fully determined to make Jesus king. Of one mind. Come together as one person, as one mind and will to make the king come in his kingdom in Redditch and in Bromsgrove. This is not a passive thing. It's not going to happen by us just sitting here. In fact, there's a verse in Amos chapter 6 and verse 1. it says to this, it says this, if you've got it there. Woe, just the first line, woe to you who are complacent in Zion. It goes on to talk about those who are just, hey, isn't this great? Isn't this nice here? We're having a good time. Do you know, I'm going to say something, I don't know whether it's controversial or not. No doubt Pastor Robin will tell me afterwards. If you want your ears tickled on a Sunday, if you want to come on a Sunday for a Sunday fix for a week, if you want to come to just feel good here on a Sunday, then lovingly and respectfully, I just want to say that this church may not be the place for you. Because this church is going to get more and more active and less passive. If you just want to sit there and enjoy the view, well, it's going to become a tough place, I'm afraid. Because we want to see Jesus making. We want to see it happen. We want to see the kingdom come in Redditch and Bromsgrove. I want to tell you, I'm tired of Jesus only being the king to be. I'm tired of the enemy having his way with people, in people's lives. I'm tired of the confusion. Do you know, several times this week, several times, the word confusion has come up. And I've said to a couple of people, I've said, you know, the Lord is saying something about confusion. The world is totally confused. Kids are completely confused. It's like people don't know what's going on. And they're confused because an enemy still has sway in this place. And he creates confusion purposely. But do you know, there's no confusion with Jesus. It's really, really simple. Jesus came to give you life and life abundantly. Jesus came to straighten everything out for you. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever difficulties there are, whether it's in your body or your mind, whether it's an attack of some sort, whatever it is, the scripture says that the Lord will make the paths straight. He'll make them clear. There's a light on your path. You'll know the way to go. You'll come to a place and say, what's the way? And a voice behind you will say, this is the way. The Lord prayed a prayer when he was on earth and said that he would bring many sons to glory. Hallelujah. Do you know, there are many, many, many sons still to be brought to glory, and daughters. Many. And there's many in your street, in your road. There's many in the place that you work. There's many in the school that you work at, or wherever you go day by day. There's many down at the shops. Revelation 11:15 says this. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. That's where we're aiming. We're aiming for the time when the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. But brothers and sisters, the word is short this morning, but I hope it's clear. This isn't going to happen unless we come like the people of old did. Fully determined. Fully determined. And of one mind to make Jesus king in this place and to build his kingdom. Will you build the kingdom here? Will you be fully determined to build the Lord's kingdom in this place? And as Pastor Robin said recently again, that many of us perhaps won't see the fulfillment of all of this, but maybe our children will, maybe our grandchildren will actually see the time when Jesus descends and says, the king has arrived. The king has come to take his place. The king has come to overthrow the usurper. The king has come to take away the one who is not of the Spirit and to replace him with the one full of the Spirit and power. Lord, hasten that day, we pray. Hasten that day. Let's pray, shall we? Father, I just want to thank you for your word and for the examples that it gives. I want to thank you for those who came to make David king, of whom we shall hear in these coming days. That those, Lord, who were not willy-nilly about things and not, well, maybe they will and maybe I won't, but they were those who came, Lord, with hearts ready to fight. We know, Lord, your word says that it's violent people who take your kingdom. It's those that come and say, this is going to happen, I'm going to make it happen. And so, Father, I ask this morning, Lord, that we would be a people who as individuals make a decision and then we join together with one heart and one mind, that you would become king in Redditch and in Bromsgrove, Lord. In the place that you've called us to be. Maybe we'll go to other places, Lord. Maybe some will go to other places. But, Lord, you called us here right now. And this is where your kingdom needs to be. This is where your kingdom needs to grow, Lord. This is where we need to make your kingdom happen. So we ask, Lord, I ask that there would be great grace upon us. That your power would be poured out upon us again, Lord. That we would be anointed again, Lord, as David was, and even as Jesus was, to do the works of the kingdom. To be able to say to people, the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God is near. Here is your king. Here is your king. Lord, bless us, I pray. Bless us abundantly in these days to come, that your name would be great. Amen.